Welcome, and thank you for streaming this sermon. At Heritage Baptist Church, we believe that the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus can truly change lives. So it is our hope and prayer that this service stirs up your affection for Christ and helps you to draw closer to Him. For more information, please visit hbchaslett.org.
Youth department, amen. If you wouldn't, your Bibles, turn to John chapter 1, and we're going to finish up the first chapter of John this morning. In our series of Follow in the Steps of Jesus, as we think about the context of this verse, I want to just go back to the Old Testament, and you won't have to turn there if you don't want to, but if you would, it's in Genesis 28. We find in Genesis 12 that Abraham was called out of the Ur of the Chaldees into a land that he had not seen. In other words, God came to Abraham and called him out and said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to multiply you. I'm going to multiply your children as the sand of the sea. I'm going to multiply your children as the stars in heaven. And all the soil you walk upon, all the land you walk upon, I'm going to give to you. He promised Abraham a land flowing with milk and honey, a great land. And we know the story, and of course we think of Abraham, we think about Father Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation. Abraham was not born a Jew, he became a Jew. And through the covenant with God. And so God promised a blessing upon Abraham, promised to bless him. By the way, he promised to bless them that bless him. And I want to remind you that too in Genesis chapter 12. It says, those who bless Abraham and his seed will be blessed. So we support Israel, we support the Jew, not just because they are a democratic government in the middle of a lot of turbulence and turmoil over there in the Middle East, but we support them because the Bible tells us to support them, because the Lord tells us to support them. And so Abraham was promised that as he went into this land, that God would give it to him. That same promise was given to Isaac. So Abraham and Sarah had a son named Isaac. And Isaac was given that same promise that the soil he walked upon would be his and God would multiply his seed as the stars of heaven. And so Isaac and Rebekah had two sons, Jacob and Esau, who were twins. And if you remember the story, as Rebekah is having the twins, Esau, of course, is the firstborn. And then as Esau's being born, Jacob, the baby, reaches out and grabs Esau's heel. It's kind of like saying, I want to be first, you know. And so Rebekah has two children, twins. Esau, the firstborn, was a hunter, a man of the field. Jacob, the Bible says, was a plain man. And some preachers like to call him a mama's boy. I don't know so much that maybe he was a mama's boy, because later in the story, he rolls away a stone that two or three men couldn't roll away, but he did it himself. So I'm not sure that maybe he was, anyway, he wasn't a weak man for sure. But Jacob, so Esau and Jacob, the two twins. Jacob, of course, if you remember the story, and you can go home and read it yourself there in Genesis chapter 22, pick up in there and keep reading. Jacob tricked his older brother Esau out of his birthright. So in Jewish tradition, if you were the firstborn, you received double honor. You received a double portion. And so Jacob tricked his older brother out of his birthright. And so there was definitely conflict there. As Jacob's father, Isaac, was turning 100, about that age, Isaac thought he was going to die. His eyes had become dim, and he had turned around that 100 years of age. And he asked his two sons, he asked Esau to go out and to catch a deer or to kill a deer and bring it back and fix his favorite food, and that he would bless him when he returned. Well, again, trickery. Jacob, whose name means supplanter, it means trickster, it means exactly what characteristics characterized Jacob's character, his life. And Jacob, again, his mother, tricked Isaac, the father, into giving Jacob Esau's blessings. How many of y'all followed that? So Jacob, not only did Jacob trick and deceive in order to get his brother's birthright, but he also tricked and deceived his dad in order to receive the older brother's blessing, the blessing from the dad. Well, once Esau, the older brother, found out that Jacob had received the blessing from his father, Esau was a little upset, just a tad bit. And it was overheard that Esau was going to kill Jacob, and so Jacob's mother said, "You need to leave." And so Jacob left his home there in Beersheba and began to make the journey to Haran, a 500-mile journey. This is, no car, no motorcycle. This would have been a long journey. It would have taken several days. Well, as he makes the journey, he comes to a place called Bethel. By the way, this is not the first time one of the patriarchs had come to Bethel. Abraham, after he had done some things in Egypt he shouldn't have done, he came to Bethel and there offered up a sacrifice to God. So we see Jacob arrives in Bethel. Here, God appears to Jacob in a dream. I also like to remind you that sometimes we get the idea that Jacob is like a teenager. He was 75 when this happened. When he tricked his dad into giving him the blessing of his older brother, Jacob was 75. He lived to be 147. So in that time, he would have been midlife. He would have been 40, 45, like I am right here. I just making the point that here is a 45-year-old in Bible times, 75-year-old, who was still conniving and still tricking and still trying to supplant. And it just amazes me that a man who no doubt had some wisdom, having made it to 75, and yet still in that position. But God was going to do something special for Jacob. In fact, Jacob's mother had already been told by way of God that Jacob would be the leader of the home. He would be the leader of the family. And God appeared to Jacob in a dream. I'm going to pick up in Genesis 28, verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba. He left his home, fleeing his older brother Saul. I'm in Genesis 28, verse 10. And went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed. And behold, a ladder set up on the earth. And the top of it reached the heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, "I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Let me just stop there and just remind you that it wasn't just the Jews that were going to be blessed through this promise that was given to Abraham and Isaac and now Jacob, but all the families of the earth. You are blessed this morning because of this promise that was given to Jacob. And behold, he says in verse 15, "I am with thee and will keep thee in all the places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee." I love this. "I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." And he was afraid and said, "How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." And Jacob arose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of the place, what? Bethel, means house of God. But the name of that city was called Luz, which means almonds, at the first. And it goes on to talk about Jacob making a vow. Now, look back with me in John chapter 1. Go to John chapter 1. Following in the footsteps of Jesus, as we follow the footsteps of Jesus, we come to this passage that talks about Jacob. We studied last week where, again, Philip brings Nathanael to the Lord. Look back with me, verse 44. "And Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter." I'm in John chapter 1, verse 44. Verse 45, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, What? I love that part. Say it. Come and see. Come and see. We found the Messiah. Come and see. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith unto him, Behold, an Israelite indeed. Israelite, man of God. Behold, a man of God indeed, in whom there is no guile. The word guile there means Jacob. Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no Jacob. In whom there is no guile, in whom there is no deceit, in whom there is no trickery. Here's an honest man, Jesus is saying. Here is a good man, an Israelite, a man of God. Nathanael said unto him, Whence knowest thou me? How do you know my character? How do you know me? I've never met you. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. In other words, before Philip ever came and approached you about coming to see me, I saw you under the fig tree. Jesus Christ is all-knowing. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. What a declaration of truth, by the way. He is the Son of God. God sent down His Son to us, His only begotten Son. He is the King of Israel. One day He will rule and reign as King of Kings. Now our text verse for today, ready? John chapter 1, verse 50. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And He saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Upon the Son of Man. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless this, the reading of your word. I pray, God, again, we would see your Son Jesus for who He is. And Lord, may we be comforted by that and by that ladder that transcends earth and heaven. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We've seen several titles that have been given to Jesus in John chapter 1. That's kind of how we followed in the steps of Jesus. We talked about Him being called the Word. And John the Baptist calls Him the Lamb of God. We see in verses 19, He's called the Son of God. We see again, He's called the Son of God in verses 49. He's been called in this one chapter, the Messiah. In this one chapter, He's been called, again, the King of Kings. But now Jesus Christ goes even further, and He says, Listen, this is one in whom there is no God. This is one in whom there is no Jacob. And then He goes back to the story. I just can't say this enough. Those who were around Nathanael, when Jesus saw him approaching and said, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no Jacob, when he said guile, they would have automatically in their mind, it would have triggered, and they would have thought of Jacob and the story. And that was Jesus' intent, for them to go back in their minds and think about the story of Jacob, the patriarch Jacob, their great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. That was the intent, because now He leads them into the story of the ladder that comes down from heaven. And Jesus says, Yes, I am the Word. Yes, I am the Lamb of God. Yes, I am the Son of God. Yes, I am the King of Kings. Yes, I am the Messiah, but I'm also that ladder. In Genesis 28, verse 12, I am the ladder sent down from heaven. That is the reference here. I am the mediator. I am the communicator between God and man. Nathanael, I am the ladder. I am. And I love verse 51. The end, He says, upon the Son of Man. Another title given to Jesus of Himself in this chapter. The title, the Son of Man. So let's first off see the Son of Man's promise. Verse 50, Jesus here makes His first promise to His disciples here, or at least here to Nathanael. He says, Because thou said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. That's a promise from Jesus. Everybody get that, right? A promise. So here we see the Son of Man promises Nathanael that he will see greater things than these. Nathanael, that honest man, Nathanael, who was an Israelite indeed, an Israelite inwardly and outwardly, a promise is given to him that greater than he'll see greater things than these. Number one, we see that Jesus acknowledges his faith. He says, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the tree, believest thou? In other words, he's acknowledging his faith that you did believe. Do you believe simply because you know that I saw you under the fig tree? Do you just simply believe because you saw me? I just want to point out this morning how simple Nathanael's faith was. How simple his faith was. In other words, Jesus is pointing out how simple his faith was. Nathanael's faith was not perfect. Nathanael's faith was not perfect. His knowledge was imperfect. In other words, he didn't have all the facts about Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus makes that point. He says, greater things than these, you're going to see greater things than these. Nathanael hadn't seen, you know, the dead raised. Nathanael hasn't seen the blind eyes to see. He hasn't seen the great miracles of Jesus. He hasn't seen the water on the Sea of Galilee calmed, the storms calmed on the Sea of Galilee. He hasn't seen all those things. And yet his faith was enough, if you would, to acknowledge who Jesus was, that he was indeed the King of Israel, the Son of God, the long-awaited Messiah. You don't have to be a theologian to get saved. We at Heritage Baptist Church, we got VBS coming up, Vacation Bible School, when we're going to deal with a lot of children when it comes to the area of faith. And we try to be very careful with children. Amen. Listen, it's important that a person have an understanding of who Jesus is before they accept him. You have to have that. But you don't have to be a theologian. The Bible says that we come to Jesus with the faith of a child. Simple faith, coming to Jesus with that simple faith. Nathanael didn't have the complete story. Nathanael didn't have all the facts. He had yet to see it all. And yet his faith, his limited understanding of who Jesus was faith enough in order that he would understand that Jesus is the Messiah and have everlasting life. And Jesus promised him greater things than these. Greater things than these. Nathanael would witness the unfolding and then unveiling gradually of the manifestation of God to the world. Understand that. Nathanael was going to witness the manifestation, the gradual manifestation of God to the world. The unveiling of God to the world. God in the flesh. He's going to witness Jesus Christ and his person and his character. He's going to witness who he is. He's going to witness his life of service, his words of wisdom, his deeds and power, his death, his resurrection. He, Nathanael, is going to witness the ascension of Jesus Christ into heaven. Greater things than he had already witnessed. Greater things than he'd already witnessed. Christian, this morning, we come to Jesus Christ in simple faith. We come to him in simple faith. We come to him in childlike faith. It's the Holy Spirit. When we get saved, the Holy Spirit we receive that leads us into all truth. It's the Holy Spirit who brings us along in the understanding of who Jesus Christ is. In other words, once we're saved, once we're justified, we are to grow in the Lord. The Bible describes the Christian as a babe when they get saved. When I got saved, I became a babe spiritually, a baby spiritually. Spiritually speaking, I'm a baby. I'm also a baby when it comes to pain. But spiritually, it's true. Spiritually, when I got saved, I became a baby, if you would. Spiritually speaking, and therefore I am to grow spiritually. How do I do that? Well, the Bible describes itself as the milk of the Word. The Bible is described as the bread. The Bible is described as the meat. And so as I learn the Bible, as I read my Bible, as I hear from preachers and conferences and revivals, and I ought to grow in the Lord. I ought to grow. I would go from a baby to a toddler, and from a toddler to that middle school age, and then to the junior high awkward years, and then high school. In other words, I'm growing in the Lord. And I just want to encourage, there's some new converts in here this morning. Christianity, being a Christian, is a growing process. You don't wake up one day and know it all. What's great about the Bible, and what's great about being a Christian, is that the growing never ends. You want to be a part of something that you can learn from now until all eternity? Man, being saved and being Christian and growing in the Lord is something that will last to all eternity. It's an amazing thought. It never ends. Simple faith in the Lord leads to salvation. Simple faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ leads to salvation. And then that faith grows. In other words, greater things you'll see. Greater things you'll begin to understand. That never ends. You just keep growing in the Lord. By the way, a person who accepts Christ as Savior will grow in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But can I just clarify? In growing in that knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we also grow in wisdom and understanding. In other words, we get light from the Lord. I'm thankful for the light that I have. A lot of darkness out there today. A lot of evil out there today. And I'm thankful that when I got saved, I received the light of life. And that light dwells within me. Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, lives within me. And I am given wisdom and understanding beyond the natural, if you would. I'm trying to say to you that we live in the greatest country on earth. The greatest country on earth. I believe in American exceptionalism. I believe America has always been great. Not without problems. But she works her problems out. And she grows with it. Listen, we live in the greatest country on earth. And today there's a lot of political unrest and a lot of darkness. And I'm thankful I have light. That I can maneuver through the darkness that's happening. I'm thankful that I have a Bible that tells me what's right. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The Bible tells us what's right. The Bible tells us what's wrong. The Bible tells us how to get right. The Bible tells us how to stay right. Amen? Reproof, for correction. Everybody got that outline? You can preach that next week. The Bible. I grow in the knowledge of the Bible. I grow in my spiritual understanding. I grow, and that growth never ends. And the question this morning for you, Christian, is, are you taller today than when you first came to the Lord in simple faith? What age are you spiritually? Are you growing in the Lord? Sin will stunt your growth. Lack of Bible reading, in other words, a lack of food will stunt your growth. I need food to keep the engine going, right? I need a lot of food to keep this engine going. It takes a lot. It takes more than just, 1,500 calories. This engine takes more than 2,000 calories. It takes a lot to keep it going. And as a Christian, it takes the Word of God, the food, your spiritual food, to continue to grow in the Lord. I'm telling you, He said, greater things than these you will see. And if you are growing in the Lord, you have seen greater things than you did when you first got saved. And let me tell you, you will see greater things now, even as you go forward in the Lord. What a blessing it is. What a great, great blessing and privilege it is to be a Christian. And then we see not only the Son of Man's promise, we see the Son of Man's ministry. Verse 51, He says, "Verily, verily, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." So we think back to Jacob. We think back to Jacob there in Bethel as God came to him in a dream and that ladder came down from heaven. We see the angels here, it says, ascending and descending. That Jesus Christ is the link between God and man. That Jesus is that ladder set down from heaven. 1 Timothy says it this way, chapter 2, verse 5 says, "There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." I want to point out, it says, the man Christ Jesus. When Jesus says, "I'm the Son of Man," it's different than Him saying, "I am the Son of God." It was necessary that the Son of God become the Son of Man in order that the ladder connecting earth and heaven might open the way for mankind to enter the presence of God. Because of our sins, we are separated from God. Because of our sin, we are separated from God. But Jesus Christ is that ladder that spans the chasm. It's Jesus Christ who restores that relationship and fellowship with God. He's the one that spans the gap. He says, I am, not only am I the Son of God, but I am the Son of Man. That phrase, Son of Man, is used 83 times in the New Testament and 13 times in the Gospel of John. And it speaks of Jesus' humanity, that he was indeed God in the flesh, that he was the one who was to bridge the gap. He is now the one that sits at the right hand of the Father. He is the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who ever liveth to make intercession for us. Can you understand, or do you understand this morning, Christian, that a man sits at the right hand of the throne of God? That if you were to enter heaven's gates now, you would see a man, you would see Jesus in the flesh sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. He is God and he is man. He's just as much God as though he had never been man, just as much man as though he had never been God. He's the God-man. Timothy also says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Jesus Christ, the Trinity, the Son of God, became a man, became flesh, in order that he might represent us, a man. By the way, there's only one ladder. Only one ladder. We live in a pluralistic society where they teach and preach that all roads lead to heaven, but Jesus had he said it differently. He said in John chapter 14, verse 6, he says, Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. Jesus said emphatically, he didn't say he was the best way, he didn't say he was kind of the way, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is that ladder sent down from heaven. He is the only way to heaven. He is the only one to restore that fellowship, or restore that relationship between God and man. Jesus Christ brings man and God together. He is the mediator between God and man. Secondly, Jesus is our intercessor. Christian, can you be reminded this morning that Jesus Christ is interceding for us? Amen. In fact, John says he's praying for us, that he cares for us. See, when Jacob was there, he was fleeing from his older brother. And there he lays his head down at night, and he takes a stone for his pillow. Can you imagine that? There's no doubt in my mind that Jacob felt alone. I believe as he laid there, he felt regret. I believe he felt regret. I believe he felt alone. And then I believe he felt uncertain about his future. And it was that time that God came to him. And God ministered to him. And said, Jacob, you're not alone. You're not alone. And there he receives a promise that God would never fail him nor forsake him. That same promise is given to us in the New Testament. If you're saved this morning, you're a child of God, God has promised that he will never forsake you and never fail you. Amen. Men may let you down. Your older brother may let you down. Your mom may let you down. Your dad may let you down. Your neighbor, co-worker. Mankind will let you down, but God will never let you down. He never fails. I'm so thankful that we serve a God who's greater than our circumstances. And let us serve a God who's greater than the problems in my life. God ministered to him, and God blessed him. And God gave him a great promise that one day his children would be as the sand of the seashore, as the dust. God promised him that the soul he walked upon would be his. God gave him that great promise. The Son of Man gave a promise. I want you to look again real quick. It says, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. But notice there's a different word used in verse 51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open. It doesn't say you shall see heaven open. There is a difference. Ye is not you. Ye is plural. Which means that applies to you today. It applied to all the disciples. It applies to you. You, all of us, shall see greater things. You shall see the heavens open and the angels ascending and descending. In other words, He is our ladder. Jesus Christ is our ladder today. All of our ladders. Christian, this morning, are you growing in the Lord? Are you taller today than you were when you first came to Jesus? Are you a toddler? Are you a teenager, spiritually speaking? Why aren't you growing? I'm thankful that God's promise never fail us nor forsake us. Our future's bright because one day He's returning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming again. What a day that'll be. Amen. Christ, our ladder. Are you saved this morning? Is Jesus Christ your ladder? Have you taken hold of the ladder? Do you know today if you were to die that heaven would be your home? If you don't, we'd love to show you from the Bible how you can have eternal life. How you can have your sins forgiven and have a home in heaven. There'll be counselors down here to help you. Christian, this morning, are you growing in the Lord? We have a great intercessor, Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. That He cares for you. He ministers to you. By the way, His angels minister to you. I don't have time to cover that one this morning. I'm thankful for His angels, aren't you? What a blessing it is to know He cares. Let's all stand. I have a verse of invitation, hymn 167, Just As I Am. We'll sing this morning. After we pray, Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your love and all that You've done for us. And what a blessing it is to know that You've given us these great promises of greater things. Lord, we thank You that You have given us eternal life. And Lord, just bless us as we go through this invitation. Lord, if there be someone here who does not know You as Savior, I pray they get saved today. In Jesus' name, amen.
On behalf of our church and staff, thank you for listening to this sermon. For more sermons and more information about our church, please visit hbchazlett.org.